ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभम् व्यास शंकर मध्यमम् अस्मदाचार्य पर्यन्तम् वंदे गुरु परंपराम् श्रुति स्मृति पुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्य कृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्ति भेद विभागिने व्योमवत् व्याप्त देहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः ओम सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम शांति 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 ओम पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ओम शांति 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 ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम सो वी हैव द शांति पाठः We saw the meaning of the Shanti Pataha last class. To enter into the teaching, I wanted to introduce first two words. Upadhihi. You all know the meaning of the word Upadhihi. So what is Upadhihi? Upadhihi is that which falsely transfers its attributes to the object in proximity. Sviyan, Sviyan Gunan, Sviyaha Gunaha Upadhiyate Anena Iti Upadhihi. So in tradition, the example given is hibiscus under crystal. Very old example. Hibiscus flower is called japa kusumam. In Sanskrit, this japa kusumam, hibiscus flower, kept near this patikam crystal, because hibiscus means those days only one variety of hibiscus, red in color. Now we have so many hybrid varieties. Only those that are red color. Original hibiscus flower, single petal. When it placed near the crystal, so crystal becomes, crystal looks red. Very closely. So what makes the crystal look red? Crystal does not really become red, but the color of the hibiscus falsely transferred to the crystal. Which means the crystal does not really become red, but it looks red. Therefore, hibiscus flower does not really transfer it, But being in its close proximity, it is capable of transferring its attributes falsely. But the crystal looks red. Therefore, we say this hibiscus does not really transfer its color. It seems to be transferring, but the crystal looks red. Even though crystal does not become red, it looks red. And this is called false transference. Therefore, this hibiscus flower becomes the upadhi for the crystal. So that which falsely transfers its attributes to the object in its proximity is upadhi. So if we take our own physical body, mind, sense complex, so here Atma, the reality implied by the term Atma, in terms of pure consciousness, Atma is absolutely of the nature of attributelessness. Atma has no attribute, because being attributeless is the very swarupam, very nature. So nirgunatvam, attributelessness is the swarupam of the Atma. But still, so many attributes, become superimposed upon the Atma. Attributeless Atma, even though Atma is absolutely free from attributes, it is of the nature of attributelessness. Many attributes become superimposed upon the Atma. So Atma does not become the one with the qualities or attributes. But still, Atma seems to be having attributes. Just as the crystal seems to have become colorful because of the closeness of hibiscus, red hibiscus flower. So also Atma, which is absolutely attributeless, seems to have become the one with the attributes because of the superimposition of attributes upon the Atma. And we say it's a body, mind, sense complex. So it's Anatma. Physical body, mind, sense complex becomes upadhi for the Atma. So Atma, upon which the attributes become superimposed, is called upahitam. Upahitam chaitanyam. Atma is upahitam and anatma becomes the upadis. So we say the body, mind, sense complex becomes upadhi. And here, what is this Atma? So this pure consciousness implied by the term Atma, associated with the body, mind, sense complex, is said to be sa upadikaha. Upadhi sahitaha atma. So it's anatma. Body, mind, sense complex is upadhi. And upadhi sahitaha atma. Atma with the upadhi is called sopadhikaha atma. Upadhi sahitaha is equal to sa upadhikaha. You had to add one ka there. Sopadhikaha atma. An atma without upadhi is said to be nir upadhikaha atma. Sopadhikaha atma, nir upadhikaha atma. Atma with upadhi, atma without upadhi. We have two words. Sopadhikaha atma, nirupadhikaha atma. There is no such a thing called nirupadhikaha. But still, in the sense physically you cannot separate. It's exactly like what? Like water. We say wave. What is wave? Water plus form, name and function is called wave. So what is an individual human being? Individual human being also is Atma with Upadis. Atma with Anatma Upadis is said to be Sopadikaha Atma. Every individual is a Sopadikaha. Means what? Atma with Anatma Upadis is called Sopadikaha Atma. So physically you cannot distinguish. Physically you cannot remove Atma and Atma. But cognitively we can discern that Atma from Anatma. If you remove, cognitively if you remove this Anatma Upadis, what is pure Atma? Atma without Upadi is Nirupadhikaha Atma. So Sopadhikaha Atma means Upadi Sahitaha Atma. Nirupadhikaha Atma means Atma without Upadi. So in the Chanti Pataha, we have to see first. Purnam Adaha Purnam Idam. When you say that, what Adaha stands for, that Ishwaraha. Idam stands for this individual Jivaha. So individual. Idam stands for microcosmic being. Adaha stands for macrocosmic being. So individual and the total. Idam purnam, adaha purnam, tad purnam. Means jiva is purnaha, Ishvara is also purnaha. Jiva is infinite, Ishvara is also infinite. That is the meaning of the first sentence. Therefore I said it is a Mahavakyam. How? What is Ishvaraha? Ishvaraha also is Sopadhikaha. Please understand. Jivaha is also Sopadhikaha. Ishvaraha is also Sopadhikaha. So first sentence if you say, Ishvara is also same Atma, the consciousness, associated with the Jagat Upadhi is called Ishvaraha. Ishvara is not Nirupadikaha. Ishvara is also Sopadikaha. Because without Upadhi, there cannot be a qualification called Ishvara. It's one and the only consciousness Atma, the one and the only reality consciousness implied by the term Atma is given two different qualifications as Jivaha and Ishvara. Purely because of its association with the two different Upadis. So this Atma, the consciousness identified with, associated with individual body, mind, sense complex Upadi is called Jivaha. And the same consciousness Atma, one and the same consciousness associated with the Samashti Upadhi, total Upadhi, Jagat is called Ishwaraha. Therefore, the very qualifications tell you what Ishwaraha is also a qualification. Jivaha is also a qualification. These two qualifications are attributed to the one and the only attributeless Atma because of its association or identity with Upadhis. So we say from the standpoint of this Upadis, there is difference. Why should we call it Jiva and Ishvara? Why two different titles should be given to only Atma? Purely because of the difference in the Upadis. Jiva Upadhi is different from Ishvara Upadhi. Therefore, Jiva Ishvara Bhedaha is there. Therefore, Sopadika Drishtya. Now I can tell you. Samskritam, okay? Upadi, Sopadhika Drishtya, from the standpoint of the Atma with its Upadis, there is Bhedaha, there is difference between Jiva and Ishvara. Nirupadhika Drishtya, from the standpoint of the Atma without Upadis, there is Abhedaha. These important sentences, okay? Sopadhika Drishtya Abhedaha. Sorry, Bhedaha. Nirupadhika Drishtya Abhedaha. So there's difference from the standpoint of the Upadis of the Atma. Sopadhika Drishtya. Nirupadhika Drishtya. From the standpoint of Atma without Upadis, there is Abhedaha. There is non-difference. So we have to have two drishtis, two standpoints. What is that? Sopadhika Drishtihi, Nirupadhika Drishtihi. Now, in the Purnam Adaha Purnam Idam, so Jivaha is Purnaha, Ishvara is also Purnaha. In that, there's a Mahavakyam. How do you take Nirupadhika Drishtya? The first sentence, Purnam Adaha Purnam Idam, reveals the oneness of the Atma from the standpoint of the Atma without Upadis. Nirupadhika Drishtya, so physically we do not do anything. Cognitively, we remove the Upadis of Jivatma, remove the Upadis of Ishvara. If we remove the Upadis, there is neither Ishvara nor Jiva. What is? There is only Atma. There is no Ishvara. That is why Ishvara's status also is Mithya. So Upadis, both the Upadis are Mithya. We are going to understand today. Anyway, so from the standpoint of the Atma without Upadis, there is oneness. So first sentence, we are seeing the Atma from the standpoint of the Nirupadika, okay, without the Upadis. So Nirupadika Drishtya, Atma Ekaha, Atma is one, without the Upadis, one and the same. Therefore, that is the Mahavakyam. Purnamadaha Purnamidam. But later on, Purnat Purnam Udachyate, there, from Purna Ishwarat Purnaha Jivaha Udachyate, means, there we are seeing Atma as what? Sopadhika Drishtya. We have to change the Drishti, standpoint. From the standpoint of Nirupadhika Atma, there is oneness. From the standpoint of the Atma with the Upadis, so then the Atma with the total Upadi, and there is Atma with individual Upadi. So individual is born out of the total. Vyashtihi is born out of Samashtihi. Then Drishti must be what? Sopadhika Drishtya. From the standpoint of the Atma with Upadis, then we can say from Ishvara, Jiva is born. Not from the standpoint of Nirupadhika Atma, but from the standpoint of Sopadhika Atma. When we say that Sopadhika Jiva is born of Nirupadhika Ishvara, what does it mean? Actually, Jiva is born means Upadhi is born. Birth of the Upadhi alone is taken to be the birth of the Jiva. Like what? When one indivisible space, one indivisible, undivided, partless whole space is divided into, seemingly divided into many spaces, many cavities, like so many parts and so many enclosures. We see. So what happens is the space divided. Space is not at all divided. Space cannot be divided. Space is one undivided, indivisible, partless whole. But still we use this expression, part spaces, many part spaces. One space is given many name as many pot spaces. So what is pot space? So when the pot is born, the word pot space is not born, but the word pot space is born. Okay. When the pot is born, along with the pot, what is born is just a word, a name, pot space is born. And it's at least seeming. It is not, there's no real pot space. And the seeming division we find on the part of the space is caused by the upadhi called pot. Similarly, there's no real pot space. When the pot breaks again, the pot space seemingly merges in the space. So birth is pots, the birth of the pot space is also seeming birth, that is a real birth. Similarly, merger also, when the pot is broken, what happens to pot space? Is there a merger? So the merger also is seeming. It's not real merging. Pot space merges with the total space. Can pot space ever merge? No. But there's a seeming merging. There's a merger. It's not real merger. Similarly, what? There's no real. Jiva is not born. Please make it a point. Jiva is not born. What is born is the jiva's birth, the word birth of jiva comes into existence, be conditioned by what? The physical body. The birth of the physical body is taken to be the birth of the, just as birth of the pot is taken to be the birth of the pot space. So also birth of the physical body is taken to be the birth of the jiva. There's no jiva born really. Physical body is born. Therefore the same, that is why it is said as a seeming. From Samashti Ishwaraha, Vyashti Jivaha is born. From macrocosmic Ishwara, the individual jiva is born. From which standpoint? Nirupadikam or sopadikam? We must remember sopadika drishtya. From the sopadikaha atma, sopadikaha jivaha udachyate. This must be the translation. Okay? Purnat purnam udachyate means, from the Ishvara who is essentially the Purnam, the Jiva who is essentially Purnaha is born. How? From the standpoint of what? Sopadika Drishtya. The standpoint of Sopadika Atma, Ishvarat, Sopadikaha Jivaha is born. Is it clear? Yeah. Then, Purnasya Purnam Adaya. So from the sopadika jiva, third line we take only sopadika jiva, we are not even at Ishvara. From the sopadika jivaha, if we remove purnat purnam udachyate, purnasya purnam adaya. From the sopadika jiva, who is sopadika jivaha? Atma with anatma upadhi is called sopadika jivaha. From the sopadika jiva, if we remove the atma, the consciousness, what will be remaining? You all want to say upadhi, don't you? From the sopadika jivaha, the third line we only take only sopadika jiva, okay? From the sopadika jivaha, if we remove the upadhi, say if we remove the if we remove the Atma, what will be there? Atma alone will be there. Okay? From the Sopadika Jivaha, If we remove the Atma, Anatma aspect will not be there. Why? Because Anatma is Mithya. The third line says, that is what the third line says. So, Purnam Adaha Purnam Idam Purnate Purnam Udachyate Purnasya Purnam Adaya. If you remove the Atma aspect from the Anatma, Sopadika Atma, then Atma alone remains. Anatma is not counted. Upadis are not taken into account. This is, we have to remember this. Okay, this is the meaning of the Shanti Pataha, which we have already seen. Now, we have to enter into the next lesson. The next lesson is, so Upanishad wants to introduce the very beginning itself, the prakriya. There is a specific prakriya. The word prakriya, I wanted to know the prakritihi, prakriya, prakaraha. All the three words mean the same. Prakaraha is a masculine gender word. Prakritihi is a feminine gender word. Prakriya is also a feminine gender word. Prakritihi, prakriya, prakaraha. Prakaraha is the masculine gender word. Prakaranam is a neutral gender word. Prakaranam, prakriya, and prakritihi, prakaraha. All these words mean the same. But here, we take here prakriya as a methodology. Even though all the words mean the same, we take the word prakriya alone as a methodology. Prakaraha also is a mode, method. So the method of unfoldment is prakriya, prakaraha, prakaranam. So prakriya, feminine gender word. Prakaraha, masculine gender word. Prakaranam is a neutral gender word. Mean the same. Prakaranam, prakriya, prakaraha. Now, this word prakriya is very well-known word. So, prakriya means a methodology, a method of unfoldment. And one of the important methods of unfoldment, unfoldment of what? The method of unfoldment of the nature of reality. Because Upanishad's aim is to help us understand what is absolutely real. See, unless we become 100% convinced that this is what is the reality, this is what is the fact. We must be 100% convinced of what is absolutely real, what actually the fact is. So here, the prakriya is, there's many methods, there many prakriyas are there, in order to help us understand what exactly is the reality. In understanding what the reality is, what happens? Our perspective of the self changes. Our perspective of the world also changes. In understanding what is absolutely real, our perspective changes. When our perspective changes, then all our the problems which seem to be very real, all our problems, the so-called problems which seems to be very, very real, all the problems will resolve for good. This is what Shastram says. To resolve all the human problems totally, the only solution we need is, only perspective change. And perspective change can be brought about only in the clear vision of what is absolutely real. What is we need to understand the fact about the total cosmos. We need to know the fact about the individual human being also. And we need to see how the individual and the total are essentially indestructible reality. We need to understand. Therefore, Upanishad uses the methodology here. And one of such methods of unfoldment is called Adhyaropa Apavada Prakriya. So, Adhyaropa Apavada Prakriya. So, the Adhyaropa Apavada Prakriya is a method of analyzing the world. The method of analyzing the universe is actually method of analyzing the universe is for ultimately to arrive at the reality. So in order to understand this methodology itself, there are certain technical terms used in the Shastram. See, nothing is new for you, okay? It's all old lessons only. But still, how that is the style of teaching Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. To understand the Adhyaropa Apavada Prakriya, in order to arrive at ultimately the reality Brahman, we need to know certain technical terms. That is, in Bhagavad Gita, 16th verse of 2nd chapter, Krishna introduces all these words. That verse, Nasato vidyate bhavaha, na bhavo vidyate sataha, ubhayorapi drishtontaha, tvanayostatva darshibhihi. This is in Nitya Gita, Jnana Yajna also mentioned it. So, there are three words, sat, asat, okay, four words, sat, asat, mithya, and tucham. Sat, asat, mithya, and tucham. Four words we should know very clearly to understand this Adhyaropa Apavada Prakriya. Very simple, it's not difficult. So what is sat, what is asat, what is mithya and what is tucham? If you have already covered second chapter Bhagavad Gita, definitely you will know very thoroughly. Swamiji explains beautifully there. Second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 16th verse. So the sat is a word which also means satyam. The word satyam is used to mean truthfulness in speech. But here we take sat as the reality, real. So that which is real is sat. That which is real is sat. Again, what is real? What is sat? What is real? So real is that which exists in all three periods of time. Trikala abadhitam satyam. Trikala abadhitam sat. In Taittiriyam also we'll be seeing it. Trikala abadhitam satyam or sat. So that which is there in all three periods of time, that which is free from past, present and future is real. This is how reality is defined. What is reality? What is real? Means real is that which is always there in all three periods of time. So when you say that which is there in all three periods of time, Trikala Abadhitam means it has no beginning. So real is that which is beginningless, that which is endless also. So beginningless, endless is real. So beginningless, endless means it has no cause also. Anything which has a beginning must have a cause. So beginningless must be causeless. So that which has no cause, that which is beginningless, therefore causeless. So because it has no cause, it's also independent. See, it must go like this. That which has no beginning has no cause. Beginningless because it is causeless. Causeless because it is, therefore it is independent. Causeless, therefore independent. So real is that which is beginningless, causeless, independent, endless, and also changeless. Because anything which undergoes a change, again what happens, it will be subject to the beginning and end. Therefore, beginningless, endless, changeless, causeless, independent. These five, must remember this. Why it has no cause? Because beginningless. Beginningless, it cannot have a cause. And it does not have a cause. It is independent. It has no dependent existence. Because effect is dependent on cause. Isn't it? So real is that which is not an effect. It has no cause. It is, therefore it is independent also. So you must remember all these five factors to understand what is real. What is Sat? What is Satyam? So Sat is that which is real. That which is real is, the real is that which is beginningless, endless, changeless, causeless and independent. Now next word. Asat. Sat, then we have Asat. This word Asat actually has two meanings. One meaning is Mithya. Another meaning is Tucham. The word Asat has two meanings. One is Astucham, another is Mithya. Because Asat is translated as unreal. So what Sat is real, what is Asat? Asat is unreal. Therefore, it has two words, Tucham and Mithya. So here we have to understand what is Tucham? Tucham is that which does not exist at all. So absolutely real or absolutely existent is Sat. Absolutely non-existent is Tucham. Absolutely non-existent is Tucham, which is said to be Asat. Unreal. Okay, unreal. What is unreal? Pooja Swamiji, I remember very well in all the class he used to bang this. Unreal is that which does not exist at all is unreal. Absolutely non-existent is unreal. Absolutely existent is real. So Tucham you understood. Now we have one more word, Mithya. So Sat, Asat. Then we have Mithya. So Mithya is one thing, we do not have English translation for that. For Sat we have real. For Asat we have unreal. What about Mithya? For Mithya we do not have equivalent term in any European language. Mithya should be understood as Mithya only. You can write a spelling, okay, M-Y or whatever it is, T-H-Y-A. But there's no equivalent word in translation. It's not available at all. So Mithya is that which is not, that which is neither real, that which is not nor unreal is Mithya. Mithya is that which is neither absolutely existent, that which is nor is it, absolutely non-existent. So Mithya is not unreal. Mithya is not unreal means what? Mithya is not absolutely non-existent. Therefore, Sat Asadbhyam Vilakshanam. Sat Asadbhyam Vilakshanam. So that which is neither real nor unreal, So that which cannot be defined as real, that which cannot be defined as unreal is mithya. Why mithya cannot be said to be unreal? Because mithya is not absolutely non-existent. Why mithya cannot be said to be real? Because mithya is not absolutely real. Why? Because mithya has a beginning. Real is that which has no beginning. Whereas mithya has a beginning. And mithya has an end also. So mithya is something which exists, but it has a beginning, it has an end. And mithya is that which has cause also. And which, therefore, mithya has only dependent existence. Mithya is that which has a beginning. That mithya is not non-existent, it has existent. At the same time, it has a beginning, it has an end. While existing in also, between, well, it has dependent existence. Therefore, it is mithya. And mithya is subject to change. So what is real, what is mithya there, sat? Beginningless, endless, changeless is satyam. Independent is sat, real. Whereas mithya has a beginning, mithya has an end, mithya is subject to change, and mithya is also has dependent existence. This is the difference. Now we need not worry about tucham. Why? Absolutely non-existent. Now, what Shastram tells us here, the satyam and mithya alone we need to understand. So the entire jagat, Shastram says, the entire objective universe, how do we see this universe? We take this universe to be satyam, real. In our perception, based on our experience, we take this universe to be satyam. This universe is real for us. Birth is real, death is real, all the changes that take place in real, all our experience of pairs of opposites are taken to be real, and the whole objective universe is real for us. If we say, that is why the whole jagat is taken to be real. And this is called erroneous perception of the universe. This universe is not as real as we think. Why the universe is not real? Because universe has a beginning. Universe has an end. So having a beginning, having an end does not mean it is going to be destroyed for good. It has a beginning, it has an end. In between the beginning and the end also, it is constantly undergoing changes, subject to change. And the universe has no independent existence of its own. It has dependent existence. Therefore, this universe is not unreal also. That is why the world is unreal. It is not right to say the world to be unreal. World is not unreal. The world is neither real nor unreal. The objective universe is neither real nor unreal. Then what? It comes under the category of mithya. So jagat is mithya. So this temporarily existent, so absolutely permanently existent is real. Absolutely non-existent is unreal. So that which is temporarily existent, objectively, empirically existent is mithya. This is what we need to understand. So the entire objective universe is mithya. But even though it is mithya, It has beginning, it has an end, and it is in between. It has different existence. It is subject to change, but still, this mithya jagat is mistaken to be satyam, real. This is what is said to be erroneous perception of the jagat. So if our perception of the jagat changes, how can we change? The error in the perception of the universe should be changed. Which means we must see the mithya jagat to be mithya universe. If we are able to see the jagat as mithya jagat, then our perception of the jagat is correct. We are able to see it as mithya jagat, we can be objective towards the jagat also. Being objective towards the universe will help us understand, will help us not to internalize all our situations. And the jagat includes what? Also our body, mind, and complex. This mithya jagat includes our body, mind, sense complexes also. All of us have to generously, magnanimously allow our body, mind, sense complexes to be included in the, whether we like it or not, it's already, it is objective universe only. Part of the objective universe. So jagat is mithya, jagan mithya. This is the important lesson in Advaita Vedanta. Jagan mithya, jagan mithya. So in Mandukya Upanishad, the whole one chapter, one prakranam, Gaudapada Acharya spends all his time to establish the fact about the world. The jagat is mithya. So jagat is mithya, so what? What is the use of knowing the jagat being mithya? We do not see the jagat as mithya. We always take the jagat to be satyam. That is why Pujya Swamiji used to bang this. We should never say jagat is unreal. Jagat is not tucham. It is not unreal. Something non-existent at all. In fact, in understanding the fact about the jagat being mithya, another fact also we'll come to know. What is that? There is no such a thing called non-existence at all. There is no such a thing called non-existence at all. What is only satyam. Okay. There's no such a thing called non-existence at all. Absolutely non-existent. Absolutely non-existent. Absolute non-existence. Or non-existence is not there at all. So jagat is mithya. Now the problem, the question comes, why is this jagat mistaken to be satyam? Why is this mithya jagat taken to be satyam? Why is it mithya universe is mistaken to be real? So already I said, mithya is that which cannot be negated as tucham, unreal, nor is it real. So sad asadbhyam vilakshanam, that which cannot be defined as real and unreal is mithya. Therefore this mithya jagat is what? Jagat is mithya means it has a beginning, end, it is subject to change. It also has a dependent existence. The next question comes, why do we mistake this mithya universe to be real? Because our conclusion about the jagat is based on our experience, our perception. So, experience, because we are experiencing the universe, it is there for us. Therefore, we mistake it to be real. But Shastram says, this mithya jagat is mistaken to be satyam, real, because of the ignorance of the satyam Brahma. That is absolutely real. this absolutely permanently existent thing, absolutely permanently existent alone is real, and that is what is implied by the term Brahman. We do not know what is absolutely existent, permanently existent. Therefore, we mistake this temporarily existent universe to be real. So, Brahma Ajnanat Mithya Jagat Satyatvena Svikriyate. Because of the ignorance of this absolute reality, Mithya universe is taken to be real. Therefore, it is important for one to understand what is absolutely real. If you understand what is absolutely real, what is real, we do not know that we do not know what is real. If we know what is real, then only from the standpoint of Sadvastu, then we can understand universe being Mithya. So unless and until you discover what is real, you can never understand the universe being Mithya. It is very difficult to say the Jagat is not real. We don't say Jagat is unreal, okay? But it's very difficult to say Jagat is not real. Jagat is not real means what? See, not real is different from unreal. Jagat is not real means to understand that we must know what is real. Therefore, Brahma Jnanam. Therefore, it is important to understand what is real. Only when you understand what is real, assimilate what is real, then you can see from the standpoint of what is real alone, you can see how the universe is not real. Otherwise, simply see the world, try to understand how, why the universe is not real, why the universe is not real. If we break our heads, we can never understand. So you need to understand what is absolutely real, permanently existent. Only from the standpoint of that reality, only in the light of the clear understanding of what is permanently existent, we can understand how the universe is Mithya. And not only that, when we arrive at what is permanently real also, you will see that you yourself, you will discover yourself being the absolutely real vastu. So this adhyaropa apavada prakriya is specifically used to understand and negate the universe as mithya. To understand the mithyatam of the jagat, adhyaropa apavada prakriya is used. Thereby, it also will help you arrive at the Satyam being one's own self. What cannot be negated as Mithya is one will remain there. And what remains finally, non-negatably, is Satyam. And you will see that it's you yourself. You alone will be left. You will be left alone. Non-negatable reality. Trikala abadhitam satyam. You are the abadhitam satyam. Okay? This is what is the prakriya has to be used here. This is the purpose of using the prakriya. Adhyaropa apavada prakriya. So this adhyaropa apavada prakriya, adhyaropaha means superimposition. And apavadaha means negation. So it's called method of superimposition and negation. What is superimposition? Means accepting our perception of the world without denying our experience and perception, accepting as it is, we take this jagat, the whole universe, as real. But there Shastram comes and tells, this universe is, does the universe, according to Shastram, universe does not even exist. Does not even exist means what? It's only appearance in the books of the Shastram. Universe is only an exist appearance. So what is this universe? So the universe is the karyam. Karyam. Jagat. Universe is the whole universe has a beginning. The universe has come into existence. So because anything and everything exists which exists must have a cause. Nothing can exist by itself. It must have come into existence from something. Therefore, the whole jagat is looked upon as an effect. Karyam. Karya rupena jagat svikriyate. So take the universe to be effect. Seeing the universe as effect is what? You are giving the effect status to the jagat. So giving the status of being the effect to the universe, jagat, is the adhyaropaha, stage one. Okay. First, what do? We take the universe to be existent. Then we take it as an effect. Universe is an effect. Seeing the universe as an effect is what? Adhyaropaha. And then, what is the cause? If universe is the effect, there must be cause. What is the cause from which the effect universe has come into existence? Then Shastram teaches us, okay, Brahman is the Karanam. When you look at the universe as the effect, see the Brahman as the Karanam. So attributing the causal status to the Brahman is called, it's also Adhyaropaha. So in Adhyaropa we have two levels. First, what is Adhyaropaha? Superimposition. So attributing the effect status to the universe is step one. Then attributing the causal status to Brahman is step two. There are two steps. It's a superimposition actually. It's called method of superimposition. So you attribute effect status to the universe. We attribute causal status to Brahman. This attributing causal status and effect status to Brahman and the universe respectively is called adhyaropaha. Thereafterwards, we analyze this universe. When you analyze the universe, if a universe is the effect, then Brahman is the cause, then definitely universe cannot be independent of the cause, Brahman. Because if you take any cause and effect, whether you take an ornament and gold, or you take clay and pot, or wooden furniture, any effect is non-different from its cause. The effect does not have independent existence of its own without the cause. If you analyze any effect, the effect can be reduced to cause. Because furniture is wood, even though wood is not the furniture. Ornament is gold, gold is not the ornament. Ocean is water, water is not the ocean. The effect is the cause, but the cause is not the effect. Pot is clay, but the clay is not the pot. Very important. Clay is not the pot, but the pot is clay. So clay is distinct from the pot. Clay is not the pot, but the pot is nothing but clay. So also Gold is distinct from the ornament. Gold is not the ornament, but definitely the ornament is nothing but gold. Because ornament does not have independent existence of its own without the gold. So pot does not have independent existence of its own without the clay. Similarly here, it's very important to remember here, the entire Jagat is the entire Jagat does not have independent existence of its own. The whole pot is clay, ornament is gold, furniture is wood, so the Jagat is Brahma. Universe is Brahma. But Brahman is not the Jagat. Brahman is not the Jagat. Brahman is distinct from the Jagat. Brahman is not distant from the Jagat. See, gold is not distant from the ornament, but distinct from the ornament. Distant and distinct are two important words to remember. So Brahman is not distant from the Jagat, but distinct from the Jagat. Therefore, the whole Jagat is Brahma, but Brahman is not the Jagat. When you understand, then see, when on analysis, when you find out, the effect is the cause, but the cause is not the effect. Therefore, you reduce a, then you make a statement. What is that? Effect is the cause. Pot is clay. Ornament is gold. Furniture is wood. Similarly, Jagat is Brahma. It's called equation, okay? Equating matter to consciousness is what? Jagat is Brahma. Pot is clay, but clay is not the pot. So ornament is gold. Gold is not the ornament. When you say this pot is clay, ornament is gold, similarly Jagat is Brahma. When the statement is made, this equation is made, you are cognitively resolving the pot in clay. When you say pot is clay, you are resolving the pot in clay. Not physically, intellectually, you are negating the pot. Resolving the form, name, and what is pot? Form, name, and pot. Function, purpose. Nama, Rupam, Karma. Please make three words are important. Nama, Rupa, Karma. Shankara Bhagavatpada likes these three terms he uses now everywhere. Nama, Rupa, Karma. Nama, name, Rupam, form, Karma, purpose it serves or the function is Karma. Nama, Rupa, Karma. What is pot? If you take clay plus form, name and function is pot. Clay plus Nama, Rupa, Karma is pot. What is ornament? Gold plus Namarupa Karma is ornament. So substance plus Namarupa Karma is an effect. And minus that Karanam, Nama, Rupa, Karma, all three will collapse. There cannot be form without the cause. So name also will be meaningless. Purpose also will not be possible. Therefore, Nama, Rupa, Karma, all these three, which do not have independent existence, are said to be Mithya, form, name and function. Mithya means form, name and function. Non-substantial form, name and function is called Mithya. So when you say clay, when on analysis, you find out the whole pot is just the form, name and function, non-different from, not dependent upon this clay. Therefore, pot is clay. You are very clear. When you say pot is clay, you are cognitively resolving the pot in clay. This cognitively resolving pot in clay, by equating the pot to clay, what do? You say there is no such a thing called pot other than clay. Similarly, here when you say Jagat is Brahma, you have to say Jagat is Brahma. Brahman is not Jagat, means Brahman is non-different from Brahma, non-separate from Brahma. And Jagat is what? Mithya, form, name and function. The whole objective universe, including our body, mind, sense complex, can be reduced to non-substantial nama rupa karma. Nama rupa karmakhyam jagat. Mithya, form, name and function. What is this jagat? Non-substantial, mithya, form, name and function. Therefore, Jagat is Brahma. We have to say, just as how we say pot is clay, ornament is gold, we say Jagat is Brahma. When you say Jagat is Brahma, you are resolving Jagat in Brahma. This resolving Jagat in Brahma intellectually is actually saying the Jagat, there's no such a thing called Jagat other than Brahma. There's no pot other than clay, which means you first, when you say pot is clay, you are negating the effect status attributed to the clay, to the pot. You're negating the effect status attributed to the pot. So when you say Jagat is Brahma, analysis, you are negating, first you attributed the effect status to the universe. Now when you, after analysis, when you say Jagat is Brahma, you are negating the effect status attributed to Brahma, the universe. Universe is not an effect. Why? Because universe is Brahma. You cannot call universe an effect because universe is Brahma. You cannot call pot an effect because pot is clay. You cannot call ornament an effect because ornament is gold. Now, you cannot call universe effect because universe is Brahma. Therefore, effect status is negated first. It's called what? Apavadaha, step one. Negating the effect status attributed to the Jagat is what? Step one, apavadaha. Once you negate the effect status attributed to the universe, then what do? You cannot call Brahman cause also. Effect itself is not there. How can there be cause? Once the effect status attributed to Jagat is negated, then there is no cause. There is no effect. Means how can there be cause? Therefore, then the second step is what? You negate the causal status attributed to Brahman also. This negation of effect status attributed to the universe, negation of causal status attributed to Brahman, these two statuses are negated. This negation of the attributed so-called causal and effect statuses is called apavadaha method. Then finally, what is the lesson? There's neither the cause nor the effect. What is only Brahma. Brahman alone is, that Brahman alone is real. And not only that, and that Brahma which alone is, you will say, I am the only reality left behind. I am that Brahman. Aham Brahma Asmi. Finally, you will you negated the whole Jagat in Brahman, and you will be, I will be hanging there. What am I? Aham Brahma Asmi. I am Brahman. You will resolve I sense in Brahma as Aham Brahma Asmi. So in finally arriving at what is absolutely permanently existent, what is absolutely real, you will see you yourself being not different from that Brahma. Seeing one's own self, the I sense, which cannot be included in the Jagat. I sense cannot be included in the objective universe, Mithya objective universe. Then I sense also has to be resolved in Brahma. Aham Brahma Asmi, Jagat Api Brahma Asti, Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma, Ahamidam Sarvam, all that is there is only Brahma. In his clear vision, the error in the perception of one's own self also will resolve. Error in the perception of the world also will resolve. Resolve means error will be corrected. In correcting, in having the errors upon the self and the world corrected, is called Jnanam. Okay. In fact, Jnanam, there will be ignorance caused errors in the perception of the self and the world will be corrected. So in right perspective, samsara will resolve. In erroneous perception, there is samsara. In non-perception, there is bliss. In erroneous perception, there is samsara. In right perception, there is happiness, which is freedom. Non-perception, erroneous perception, and right perception. Bhagavan has already blessed us with the perception. So we should not work for non-perception. Okay. See, non-perception, there is bliss. In erroneous perception, there is samsara. In right perception, there is freedom. Moksha. Upanishad study is for right perspective, right perception, right perspective of the self and the world. So we'll continue in the next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Tatsat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.